Well, good morning. How are we doing? Happy Father's Day, fellas. I hope you're getting a lot of steak and meat, manly foods today, because I'm going to Longhorns after this, and I'm really looking forward to it. So I want us to look at actually two psalms, and I want us to remember this, is that every sermon, as my professor used to tell me in seminary, is supposed to do this. It's supposed to comfort the afflicted. So if you feel afflicted this morning, you're supposed to feel comfort. And if you are feeling comfortable, and this is the hard part, you're supposed to feel you're supposed to feel affliction if you feel comfortable. And so that's what that's the context in which we bring God's word to you. And I want us to remember this in it being Father's Day, because this is a Father's Day sermon. In Matthew 3, remember, Jesus didn't do much, and all of a sudden he's baptized in the Jordan River, and I got to be there 3 years ago, and the skies opened up, and God the Father said to Jesus, said this, "This is my son with whom I am well pleased." And then what happens next? Satan takes him into the desert for 40 days, right? And he is able to withstand the temptation. And I don't want you to lose that. What does a good father mean? What does a good father mean for us as we go into the desert at times and we are tempted? Because a lot of us are in that right now. Maybe you're in that right now. You feel tempted. And here's what you need to know, that Jesus heard from his heavenly Father that I am so pleased with you. And I know this is a Father's Day, and we're supposed to celebrate fathers. But for some of us, this can be a tough day. Either maybe your father has passed away, or when you think of your father, you don't think of the best things. I get that. But here's what we know, is that we know that we hold on to the truth that our heavenly Father loves us regardless. And so he says to our fathers, okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to create in your world a beautiful culture. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to read two psalms, right? And we've been walking through the psalms. So I'm going to read actually two. They're very short psalms, so don't worry. I promise you, I know some depress some of you, but no. These are important, because I think, fellas, as dads, those of us that are looking to our fathers, this is a picture we should have for them. Girls that are not married, I want you to think about what does it look for us, what does it mean for you to look for a father of one day, your son, that is going to think like this. I want us to have this mindset. So this is Psalm 127 and 128, and it's five verses, and then it's six verses. Think about this as a home, as a father leading a home, and how we should kind of design our worlds according to Scripture. Psalm 127, "Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain you rise up early and go late to rest, eating bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved," think about this, "sleep." You can sleep. "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate." All right, Psalm 127, Psalm 128. "Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine." Wives, I know you've always wanted to be described this way, as a fruitful vine. within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Kids, I know you've always wanted to be described as an olive shoot. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. Think of that theme there. The Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. Now, I want you to think of the world in which God has made. God is the only one who can create something from nothing, and he did. But here's the thing. He's created a world, and we are to make out of the created world a culture. And I just want you to think of this very plainly, is that culture, your fellas, dads, we create out of what God has created a culture. If someone opened your front door and walked into your living room, if someone opened the door and walked and sat at your dining room table, what would they think? What would they hear? What would they smell? What would they see? It's Father's Day. It's a national holiday. I wish we had this in the ecclesiastical calendar. Because, fellas, culture is what we make of our homes. And we are to be a key, probably the key, culture maker of our homes. We determine in a lot of ways the atmosphere of our homes, because we dads are given the responsibility, the assignment from God. Hey, what do people view? How do people view your home? Yeah, I know it's one. I know you have an address and it's one of, 12 on this block here. But when people walk into your home, what culture have you created in your home? When people walk in, what do they feel? Dads, are you not feeling responsible for this? Fathers, do you say, no, that's for the moms. They create the home. No, it's not. Read the Bible. Who has precedent here? Who has responsibility? How does your family view what going to school? Dads, how does your family? How does your family view serving other people? Dads, how do we view going to church? And so, as you read in the Word, we know, as the Bible makes it very clear, it's the man's responsibility and his influence is in what? Creating a culture. What is the culture of your home? If you're not married, what was the culture that your, how did your father influence the culture of your house? Because remember, even though, we know Eve eats from the tree. So, Adam and Eve, they both, but who does God go to? Why does God look to Adam initially? Why? Didn't Eve eat the fruit first? He goes to Adam. Why? Because he was the what? He was the covenantal head of the home. He bears responsibility for what goes on, and he is held accountable. That's why when we read in Ephesians 5, here's what we read. This is not a very popular verse, I know. The husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. But I want to ask you, fathers, what responsibility do you hold for your influence on your home? Because we are called to help create this atmosphere. We're called to do that. It's not whether you will build a culture, because you already have a culture. Every home we know has a culture, whether or not you have intentionally built one or not. It just is. So when people walk into your place, into your home, there is a culture. The question is what type of culture is it? Building a home, as we've read, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. When we hear that, it's a reference to a family place. And so it's not a structure. There is a, if you were to go back into our little subdivision there, right up the road here, there is a dude who is building his own home. I mean, he's taking this house that is like 1,500 square feet, and he's making it like 3,500, and he's doing it by himself. And so I know him, and he's a kind of friend of the family's, and I went by him yesterday, and I stopped, and I said, I mean, he's not done, not nearly done, but it's awesome what he's doing. And I said, will you stop doing this? You know how horrible you make me feel? That you are taking this little tiny home that you have, and you're making it as like 4,000 or 5,000, I don't know how many 1,000 square feet. He is like a stud of studs, and he makes me feel like a girl. So I don't mean that in any weird way, but I'm just saying. I just said, stop doing this. When I drive by it, I feel insecure all the time. Don't do it. Building a home is far more important, right, than building a structure that your family lives in, because we know that this is what God is saying. There's a sense in which what? You can build a culture in your home if you feel like you've built it without dependence upon the Lord. And so when you read in the scriptures, don't do this in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Take the root word. That's the root word is from vanity, right? You know, of someone who is vain, who looks at themselves in the mirror and thinks about themselves. That's who's someone who struggles with vanity. What we're saying is, fathers, have you built a home that can be marked not by vanity, but by recognizing that everything that you have in your home is from the Lord? When your kids sit at your dining room table and you talk about your life, do they know, do your sons and your daughters know that this house was built not on my ability, but on deference to God, deference to the power of the Lord? Because when we don't give reverence to God and we give a culture in our home that's marked by ourselves, you know what many times he says? Here's what happens in a home. You'll eat the bread of what? Anxiety. Is your house characterized by worry? Do you sense in your dad, in your father, fear? Like, oh my goodness, my dad just feels nervous all the time. He's either going to lose his job or he's not going to get this. And I just feel like when I try to talk with him, he was after dinner and, you know, mom was cleaning up the dishes and I just kind of sat with him at the table for a little bit. And you know what I felt primarily around my dad? He was nervous. He was nervous about his work and the next month and COVID and all this stuff. And I just felt fear. Well, the psalmist is saying, when you think as a person who has vanity and you're looking at yourself all the time, you know what can happen to your house? You will be anxious, and you know what you won't get in your home? You won't be able to sleep. Think about how practical that is. Like literally, you get nervous and you notice in your dad, man, my dad is nervous about the next thing. And you know what I've also realized? He doesn't sleep very well. Like my dad doesn't like get REM sleep, like hard sleep. And I want to ask you, maybe this psalm is for you, dads. Like, maybe it's time for you to show you depend upon the Lord. You don't experience anxiety. That doesn't mean you don't question things. But you know what? When your kid walks into your room and he has to grab something and you're asleep, he looks at you in the dark and he says, man, my dad is sleeping hard. Because you know what? My dad can sleep. You know why? Because my dad depends on the Lord. And tomorrow, right, is not contingent upon whether or not he gets the client or whatever the paycheck is. But my dad can sleep because he depends upon God. There is a way for us to live. The scriptures say that is marked by what? Marked by rest. Now, if you look at the verbs here, we know that there is building, that there is labor, that there is watching, and there is toiling. We've read all those. All of those are a part, Dad, of what we're called to do, of building a house, a home. We know that. But all of those are in the context of, hey, I'm depending upon the Lord. I'm depending upon what he has done, because how many times have we fathers have worried about things that mattered the least? Imagine that you have created a home that's marked by poverty, that you're a dad and your home is marked by you don't make a lot of money. Imagine that. You're seen as somebody within your context. Yeah, they're pretty well off. They're really well off. They're crazy rich. And I'm over here. I barely make it. And you know that. Maybe your kids have referenced that. Yeah, people know in our world, we don't make a lot of money. But imagine that your home is characterized not by money, but by trust in the Lord. And that, you know what, when people come over to my house, when I invite my buddies over to my house, you know what? I feel like I can sleep differently because they trust in the Lord at that house. And it's glorious. And you know, it's a restful spot. But so for so many of us, we want, what do we want? We want our kids to be characterized by, oh, you know what school my kid got into? You know, my kid got into this school or maybe even an Ivy League school. And we know that and we hear that. But you know what? Our homes are not marked by obvious dependence upon God. That's when I go over to their house, yeah, their kid got into Duke or Cornell or Harvard or Yale or whatever. But you know what I feel when I walk over into their house? It's nervous. It's a nervous place. That dad is on them. There's no rest. And I think for some of us, when we would say, okay, what would be success? We have to look at this, fellas. Fathers, we have to look at this and say, what actually matters? Because we can perpetuate that. It can play itself out with our kids. It can play itself out with men. How do we treat our wives? Are you scared of your wife? Not funny. Funny. Not funny. Do you demand from your wife? Not funny at all. Funny, kind of funny, not funny, whatever, right? So rather than what? Rather than think, okay, God, what? How do I view my beloved? You create a culture in your home where your wife will either be demanding or anxious, and your kids will be marked with anxiety. Some are marked by losing control and raging in anger. And some dads in this room, You know the truth is you're impossible to please. The scriptures are reading us. We think we're reading the Bible. No, the Bible is reading you, and it's asking you, are you, what type of home have you created? How do we view this? Because the psalm moves us from a home, right, and a place that it says, okay, a home, a structure into, no, I want to ask you hard questions. How are you building into your kids? How are you building into your wife? Are you simply appeasing her? Are you simply just demanding from her? Or you realize that your marriage isn't simply for your happiness, it's for your sanctification. And God had you marry this woman to sanctify you. To affirm your strengths, but also, hey, we want to work on these weaknesses. Some of us in this room, we don't want to deal with that. We don't want to talk about that. We don't want to really, really engage with our kids. Because verse 3, we know it says, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. Heritage means what? Inheritance. That's what it means. And so, who do your children really belong to? They belong to the Lord. And you are simply what? Parents, fathers, we are simply a steward of the inheritance that God has given to us. And so when we think about this and we view our kids and we view our wives and we view our families, for many of us, we need to see it this way. Let's go to the next slide. Many of us think, well, it's the burden of being a father or the burden of being a husband. No, the Bible says it's not a burden, it's a blessing. Some of you are in this room and you have not flipped that. You are just coping. And the Bible says, no, no, wait. They are a blessing. Your kids are a blessing. Your wife is a blessing for you. And they are part of what? Creating a culture. How are we going to do that, right? I don't want you to ask any of the senior high camp volunteer adult counselors about whether or not kids are burdens or not right now. You've seen the videos, and they are going to get, they're going to get specific jewels in their crowns, I believe, for going for a week with senior hires to North Carolina. But look, the world, Satan will say, you know, they're a burden. Remember what Pharaoh said about kids? He says, they're growing. We must put an end to this. I am what? I am threatened by the birth of those children. That's what Pharaoh said about kids, right? The leader of all of Egypt, which was the most powerful world power in the world at the time. But here's what we know. The language that the scriptures gives us is this. Your kids are what? Arrows. Your kids are arrows. And you know what you are? You are a warrior. And kids, your kids are arrows in the hands of a warrior. God, many times in the Old Testament, is seen as a divine warrior. Parents, fathers, have you seen your kids as an arrow? The children of your youth, right? Of one's youth, they're seen as an arrow. And you know what they are? They are tethered to you. And fathers, if you would see your kids as arrows, you're a warrior and they are an arrow. When you understand that, when you see, okay, you know what? They are my inheritance. They are what God has called me to invest fully into. Because at the right time and in the right season, you know what they're going to be? They're going to be a protector, because that's what an arrow did. If you're a warrior, what did an arrow do? What are your kids supposed to do? They're supposed to protect you. And when you invest in them properly, when you understand, right? And when you understand how they're supposed to function, you know what? I tell you what, you will see them as an absolute inheritance for you. Because, fellas, many of us see fathering and being a dad as a passive project. You see as something happening to you. My wife had a lot of kids, and these kids are happening to me, right? You are a passive recipient of kidness on you, right? Many of you, oh my gosh, I've got another one. I'm going to have one, two. I'm going to have four kids on me, right? Ha, 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 ha. No, it's passive. It's happening to you. You know what the Bible says? No. You are not passive, fathers. You are active. And so many of us think, our responsibility ends with a paycheck, and we deposit it. We say, you know what I've done? I have provided. I've done my job. That's what the Bible says for me to do. I have provided for my kids. I know that. No, you are tethered to your kids. You are what? They and you are an active project where we are what? We are called to be we are called to be totally committed. Father and son, right? Father and daughter. Do you know, some of us think if you read the Ten Commandments, you hear this one commandment, honor your father and your mother. Good. You know what the context of that is? It's not for young kids. You know that, right? It's not for young kids to honor their father and mother. You know what it was for? Adult kids. Because you know what adult kids did back in the first century? You know what the adult kids did 1,000 years before Christ came? They didn't want to deal with their aging parents. You know what they did? They neglected them, and they let them die in squalor. And you know what one of the Ten Commandments was? Don't. Honor your father and mother. You are tethered to your father. Kids, father, you're tethered to your kids. So kids, see your father and imagine a father who invests in their kids. And the father begins to age, and he thinks, man, I can't provide the paycheck I used to. I can't provide the physical support I used to. I'm worthless. And all of a sudden you read the Ten Commandments and you're a kid and you realize, oh, no, no, wait, honor my father. I know this is not, this doesn't feel very convenient right now. But what we saw all the time is, in the, particularly in the ancient Near East, is kids or adults who are kids looking at their aged parents saying, I'm not going to care for you. And the scripture says, no, you have to honor your father and mother because you are tethered together. Fathers, when we do this well, when we create a culture, right, where there's trust, where there's blessing, when you see your family and your kids and your wives as not a burden, but a trust and a blessing, then things change. And so let me just ask you, is that the way you see them? Is that the way you see them right now? One of my professors, Derek Kidner, wrote a commentary series on the Psalms, and here's what he says about the way God works. It's not untypical of God's gifts that they are liabilities or at least responsibilities before they become obvious assets. And dads, I want you to see it that way. I want you to see, yeah, sometimes it will feel like a burden. But when you put in the time and you are committed to them, you're committed to your wife and you're committed to your marriage over time, when you will see, maybe at a certain time you're seeing this as a liability. I love what Kidner says. When you read the Psalms over time, the responsibilities and the liabilities that you perceive become obvious assets. And you'll see that over time, but you have to invest in them. You have to understand the way in which they were prescribed, because there is a struggle in all of this. And I want to say this to you. If you feel really convicted right now, make today the day that you start a new direction. Make today this, okay, you know what? God brought me here, and maybe I haven't been doing things the way that God has prescribed. Your failures can be redeemed. You need to hear that, dads. You know, your shortcomings, they can be reversed. And so what do we see? We move to Psalm 128, and he says this: blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. I want you to see me, God says, in reverence. You know, it says your wife will be like a fruitful vine. Like I said, wives, you've always wanted to be called that. I know that. And kids, you will be like olive shoots around your table. To reference God, a man honors his wife, who's a blessing from God. And what do we do, fellas? We cherish her. We cherish our wives. That's what we do. We understand that, okay, I'm going to delight in the wife of my youth. And you read the rest of Song of Solomon in all these different ways. I'm going to revel in serving her and protecting her, and seeing the sexual union that I have with my wife as beautiful, and the way in which God shows me how much he loves me by creating this thing called sex and the beauty of it in the context of marriage. I'm going to revel in that. And then I'm going to see that my kids will be what? An olive shoot. And you know, it may take them a little time to mature, but you know what? I tell you what, I'm committed to them. What happens? All the language becomes a culture of a house that's marked by trust and blessing. And you know what happens? You know what decreases in your home when you see it that way? Anxiety. You know what else decreases? Burdens and disregard. Some of you are living in that right now. I know that. You feel like even today, you know what I have to do? I have to manage Father's Day. I've got to manage it. I've got to see it as a burden. I've got to see it this way. I got to do the right thing. He said, no, stop. Let me tell you the way it was prescribed. Let me tell you the way it was designed. It was designed to be, oh, what a blessing. That's what we're designed for. Some of you don't realize that. You don't realize Because when you read the end of Psalm 128, it says this: may you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. Does anybody care in this room right now what Westtown's going to look in 2070? Does anybody care really right now what's going to happen in 2100 here? But imagine, dads, if we invest in our kids, it's 2021, right? And your kids are what, 3, they're 10, they're 15, they're 20. You do that and you say, I am tethered to them and they're going to mature and they're an olive shoot and they're going to produce other olive trees. And you commit to that and you commit to staying married, right? You commit to the fidelity, right, of this union God has given you. And then you see over time what, man, 30 years, 40 years. 40 years was a biblical generation, right? 40 years. And we see, okay, 2060. Okay, so my great-great-grandchildren. You know what's going to happen? It's going to be so powerful, and it's going to compound. And the interest of that is going to compound like you think financially. Watch what happens, dads. And then we say, you know what? The accumulation of what? Of culture. Imagine the accumulation of a bunch of families over time. Think financially. Accumulation of assets over time when we're investing in things. Dads, what happens? Man, we change the world. This isn't just a Father's Day sermon randomly in June of 2021. We change the world. But we don't think that way because we get so immediate-minded. And we think, you know what? How do I need to make it to Monday? How do I need to do that? And so God says, look, be dependent upon me. I mean, fellas, what if we were to tell our kids? What if the first thing you were to tell your kids when they experience any type of trouble, the first thing you said to them was just simply this: pray. Pray is the utter lack of dependence on self and dependence upon God. If that's what you were known for, like your family was known, your house, the culture that you built in your home was to say, whenever you experience anything, any trouble, here's what dad does. He says to me, just pray. You go to the Lord. You depend on him. And that's what your 5-year-old son just did because you told him. And then your 9-year-old son did that. And then your 11-year-old daughter did that. And we created homes where the deferential thing to do was simply to pray. And we feared God so much that, you know what? We trusted in his plan. So when you think about this, dads, I want you to know this. This is not about you being perfect. This is not about changing your behavior. From the standpoint of trying to get it right, this is about us resigning, right, as CEO of our family and saying, okay, God, you are it. I am going to be simply a signpost that says to my family, as they look at me at the dinner table, as they look at me in the living room, they look at me and I just say that. They look at me and I just point to that and I say, it's about him and what he's doing and his plan. That's what Father's Day is about. Is about father saying, okay, we're called to be head of the household. I don't want that responsibility. I'd rather give it to Lou. I think my kids would rather give it to Lou. It's about me saying, okay, look at me as I look at him, as I look at the grace that he's given me and trust that. That is ultimately what we're called to do. And when we can see that, when we understand as humble fathers, it doesn't drive me to despondence. It doesn't drive me to thinking I need a pill to make myself feel better as a dad. It drives me to dependence upon him. And your sons and your daughters and your wives see you doing that. And that's the ultimate act of humility. And it, you know, when I mess up, it doesn't drive me to despair. It just drives me to confess. Yep, I blew it. Imagine sons and daughters and wives that saw fathers confessing sin. How many times have you done that, dads, in the past month? You've gone to your house and said, you know what? I blew it. My anger, my passivity, whatever it was, just got in the way. When we do that, right? Here's what we do. We come back to this song, and all these songs are songs of ascent. And all they were doing was they were just walking up the road to Zion. They're just going to the temple because they wanted to worship the Lord. What do you do when you're in the car and you know it's a long drive, right? 99 bottles of beer on the wall, 99 bottles of beer. Sorry, that's an inappropriate song to ever sing in the context of a sermon. I fully agree. You sing, right? You sing. We sing when we're on a trip, right? We sing as a family when we're on a trip and we're walking to Zion. Why? We're walking there because we want to worship the Lord. And you begin to sing Psalm 127 and Psalm 128. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over a city, then you know what? The watchman watches in vanity in the mirror. Dads, where are you? This is for you. This should encourage you, and this should prick you, right? We are called to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. That's what every sermon should do. Where are you this morning? We're singing songs as we're leading our homes up to Zion. That's all we're doing. This is so appropriate for our lives. Dads, how do we lead the singing? What songs do we sing with them? Because when we do it, and we do it humbly, but we do it truthfully, you know what? An accumulation of a bunch of families is a culture. And a culture over time changes the world. And that's what I want to be a part of. That's what I want to encourage us to do. As you read this, as you sing this, go home. Open 127, Psalm 127, Psalm 128. How are we doing? Dads, open the Bible. Lead your family in singing a song. Read it, sing it, whatever you want to do. And let's walk, right? Walk right to the Lord. Let's pray and ask God.